We are in chapter 8 today, Revelation. Last Sunday we basically covered chapter 7. Chapter 6 was the six seals that we opened. Chapter 7 covered the sealing of 144,000. And it's not really clear in Scripture the purpose or exactly who or why of the 144,000 at this point, Lord. But we know that you're looking over those that belong to you and put your seal on, Lord, to where we're identified as your children. Those of us that are saved and have the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we also have a seal of your children upon us. And also talk about the multitude that appeared before the throne from every tongue and tribe and nation and so forth that appeared before the throne. Didn't exactly tell us how that all come about, except that John just saw it. And this is the point that I believe, and nobody has to agree with me, this is the point that I believe that the church is raptured before the seventh seal is opened. Now, the chart back there has it later and has possible earlier, and there's all different kind of ideas about when the church is going to be raptured, but this is the point where I believe the church is raptured. And some of the reasons why I believe so is the Scripture tells us that we'll not suffer God's wrath. And we talked about wrath the other day, gave definitions. I don't know if you can read it now. Now it's shrunk somehow over the week. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "We're not appointed to wrath." And ESV says, "We're not destined to wrath." And then Romans 5, 9, chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "We're saved from the wrath of God." And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "We're rescued from the wrath to come." So there's several passages in the Bible that seems to indicate that we as children of God will not suffer God's wrath. And if we are born again, saved Christians, and we have the righteousness imputed to us of Jesus Christ, washed by His blood, then it would seem as if God would treat us the same as He would treat His own Son. And, we as parents, if you're kind of parents supposed to be, we as parents, we discipline our children, but we don't pour our wrath upon them. Any time that we discipline our children, the purpose is for correction. Bring them back in line where they should be. And that's same thing happens with God, that He disciplines His children. Sometimes we might think it's a wrath of God, but He disciplines His children to bring us back into His will. So all that's sort of introduction to chapter 8. Let's read through chapter 8. "And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And a smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. An angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thundering and lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. the first angel sounded, and there was followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And a second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast in the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Woodworm. And the third part of the waters became woodworm, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. So back to verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Why would you think that open the seal and it was silent for half an hour?
Because something really big was coming.
Yeah.
Could it be a lull for the Lord again to wait for others to come to him?
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Well, there's several ideas about why, and we've voiced some of them here. It's some of them says a breathing space, just a pause from all this stuff that's happening. Some say the angels are silent so the prayers of the saints could be heard, and even maybe the cry of the martyrs could be heard, but. I think probably most commentaries interpret it as a silence prior to the judgment that's coming. But anytime there's a silence, it sort of gets your attention. You ever see commercials on TV where things are going along and all at once it goes silent? Everybody looks at TV, what's going on? You know, no noise coming out of the TV, and then the commercial continues. That's a boy who gets to look at the commercial, you know. Or if a pastor, say, is preaching, and he just stops for a minute or two, everybody says, well, what's going on? You know, everybody, you can get people's attention by just stopping, being silent. I think that's sort of what God's doing here. He's giving people an opportunity to turn their attention to him, to... He's pausing everything for a while. If you go all the way back to Genesis and chapter 7 in Genesis and Noah, God told Noah to get on the ark. And he says it twice. He says, get on the ark and then it'll be 7 days. Noah gets on the ark and then he waits 7 days. Scripture tells us twice, 7 days. And after everything's shut in the ark, 7 days before it started raining, he's giving people on the earth time to repent. They didn't repent. They didn't repent. They'd already made up their mind. And oftentimes we say, how come so much evil is continuing in the world for so long? Why don't God do something about it? Well, God has given time for everybody to repent.
But is it God's sovereign, though? He already knows when people will repent or not.
Yeah.
He already knows the
those that are going to repent, maybe he's waiting for them to repent. He knows they're going to repent. He's got enough time to repent. I don't know. You know, Pharaoh, give him 10 chances to do the right thing. You know, time after time. And he still... And what I think with Pharaoh, he did it 10 times. 10 is the number of worldly things. Did it 10 times, give Pharaoh the opportunity to do the right thing, and he didn't. Then, when God pours out his wrath upon Egypt, you can't say God's unfair. God gave him 10 chances. How many chances have God given us to do things? Yeah. Yeah, if God zapped us first time we got outside of his will, wouldn't any of us be here, you know? But yeah, there's several interpretations of it, but God's long suffering, and I think part of it is his long suffering and giving people an opportunity to see what's going on, and also to get their attention by just pausing for a while.
Kel, you might have covered this, but is there any time limit? Do we know how much time between opening one seal to the other and to the other?
We don't know anything hardly about it, Revelation. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to discern what's going on here. I don't know what's going on. We, as far as I know, we might be in the middle of it right now. I don't know. Yeah. There's famine all over the world. There's wars all over the world. There's economic distress all over the world. We might be in the middle of it. I don't know.
Look at nature. What's going on all over?
Yeah. We've got I just read an article yesterday talking about maybe having to evacuate Mexico City because of a volcano that's acting up. I mean, there's volcanoes all over the world that are acting up. It's been quiet for a while.
Earthquakes in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Tornadoes. Big snowstorm that we just had, you know.
They're talking about tsunami in up on the coast of Oregon and up there.
Yeah.
Actually, the thing is shifting and it's going to go up under it.
Yeah, they say it'll wipe out everything on the west coast up to Highway 5, Interstate 5, if the tsunami hits that they predict could hit with the fault there. So, things going on all over the world. Maybe we're in the middle of it. I don't know.
Matthew 28 predicted unusual weather phenomena around the world in the last days.
Yeah.
Not knowing what season is with.
But what we need to focus on as Christians, whatever state that we're in, biblically or scripturally, whatever state, we have to be right with God. That's our primary focus, that we're in God's will. You know, whatever God decides to do, there's very little we can pray about it, and he hears our prayers, but God's will is going to play out the way God wants it to play out, and our responsibility is to have our relationship with him solid. And whatever happens to our physical body is of minor importance. It's our spiritual relationship with God that's what's important. Okay, verse 2. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So a Jewish tradition says that there are seven angels who stand before God's presence. And so they got trumpets, and trumpets in the Bible were normally sounded for alarm, for war, and to warn enemy, call God's people to assembly. Several purposes there for trumpets. Remember the story of Gideon, and they blew their trumpets, and their enemies started killing each other because of confusion and stuff. So, trumpets have meaning that, especially in wartime, stuff like that, calling people together for war. Okay, verse 3-6. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense. They should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came from the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. An angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it unto the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Okay, all the way back in the Old Testament, when we had the tabernacle here, you had an altar of incense right before the veil, before the Ark of the Covenant. And the high priest, the priest was burning incense here, and there was a recipe given for that incense, and it was a capital crime for anybody to put that incense together except for the priest for the purpose of burning it on the golden altar that was before the veil, before the Ark of the Covenant. And those that incense that was burned there was symbolic of the prayers of the saints rising up to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. Now you had also the bronze altar here, which is sacrificial altar, where they sacrificed animals to make atonement for their sins. And that smoke rising up from that was also a sweet-smelling aroma to God, because it was symbolic of the repentance of his people. But here it's talking about the incense that's on the golden altar. This is a tabernacle, and you had the same similar thing in the temple. But when we were talking about this, this is an earthly representation of what's in heaven. And now we see it playing out in heaven when we're in Revelation, that they're taking the censers and to the golden altar right here. Let's see what exactly it says. They stood at the golden altar having golden incense, and there was given to him much incense that he offered in the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So we see playing out in heaven those same things that we saw on the earth as a symbolic representation of things that's happening in heaven. And the prayers of God's people set things in motion and influence things that are going on in God's will. And the incense is in the prayers. Incense, symbolic of the prayers, is precious, pleasant for God as it's drifting up to him. Just one of the angels of the Lord. That's like I said, the Jewish tradition says that were seven angels who stood in God's presence, and that was Jewish tradition. Here we're talking about seven angels are given the seven trumpets. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, talking about prayers. Prayers, in a sense, which can hasten God's coming or our conduct, holy conduct and godly lives. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein heaven being on fire shall be dissolved, and elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. So basically what I was saying before, you know, yeah, we need to be concerned about our physical body, but we're should be more concerned about our spiritual relationship with the Lord, because everything we see here is going to pass away. And we're going to have a new heaven, a new earth that we're going to be a part of. Talking about prayer again before the Lord, Daniel asked for a speedy fulfillment of prophecy for Israel at you know, he had discerned in the scriptures that they were only going to be in exile for 70 years. And he asked for God to fulfill that. And then in the Revelation, John's prayer, even though after he sees all this stuff that's going to be happening, he's still praying, even so, come Lord Jesus. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. The prayers, I guess, are touched by the fire from the altar in heaven and then thrown back to earth. We often pray, God, how long? Just like the saints under the altar in chapter 6 of Revelation. How long before you take care of the evil people here on earth? Well, here we see our prayers of the saints being thrown back to the earth and all the judgment along with them. And see the seven angels who are prepared with their seven trumpets. But even though the seal has been open, seventh seal has been open, things don't happen immediately. They're sort of spread out over time. And we are impatient lots of times for God to do something right now. But God's got his own timetable. Don't have our timetable. And like I said, we may be in the middle of this. I don't know. You know, we can certainly see those kind of things happening in our day and age, but a lot of people would see those kind of things happening in their day and age throughout history. Okay, verse 6 to 7, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. If you look at that and you try to interpret it, what's going on here? Well, maybe it's a meteorite shower or something. I don't know. That kills a bunch of people and burns up the vegetation and so forth. You know, so many people look at Revelation trying to discern what's going on here. But a third of the vegetation of the planets burn up, that's a terrible thing to happen. If you lost a third of the plant life on earth. And you might say, how could that all that happen? Well, you know, we got nuclear war, got fallout, got all kind of pollution, got meteors, and just all kind of things that could come about. So how it's going to happen, don't know. But when it does happen, I think we'll interpret it as God's judgment. Even though God uses maybe what you might consider natural events, maybe meteorites, the fallout, or volcanoes, or whatever, you know, I think we'll at that time interpret as God's judgments on earth if a third of the vegetation is burned up. In verse 8, because God's long suffering. Why not all of it?
I'm trying to confuse me even more.
God pours out his mercy upon us.
He could have wiped it all out, but he could not do it all at once. Just a little, you know.
We're going to go through several of these trumpets.
Still a chance.
Oh.
We're going to go through several of these trumpets, and everyone is a third of something that's going to happen. And your question is a good question. Why a third? God's long-suffering. He's trying to get people's attention. When you discipline a child, your objective should be correction. So when God is disciplining the earth, his objective is repentance for people on the earth. But human nature, they're not going to repent. They're going to curse God.
That's his purpose. As a parent, haven't you ever tried to get your child's attention multiple times, perhaps, before you finally decide, okay, that's it, it's time for the discipline?
For the parent.
I just give her a look.
It's kind of like we put people in prison, you know. A lot of people say, well, that's punishment. But a lot of times what you're looking for is to change their behavior pattern. And that's what you do to discipline a child. You want his behavior to change.
But you try to get the attention before you take stronger measures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But human nature, people have different personalities. Some people just makes them more rebellious and more angry and so forth.
That would be me.
And that's what God has to deal with us. when he tries to discipline us or get our attention, you know, some of the people will say, yes, it's God's hand at work, and he's merciful that he don't, you know, zap us all, whatever. And other people say, what kind of God is that that will do these kind of things? That's a terrible God, you know, evil God. So you got a wide range of personalities there and how they respond to what a righteous God's doing to try to bring us back in his will.
He will get your attention.
Kellen, you know, this is making me think of, you know, when back when Jesus was born, there was God's plan, but everybody was still so busy, they weren't paying attention, and then, of course, the Jews were still running all over looking for the Messiah. It could be the same with this. This is all happening, and we're looking in the future. When's it going to happen? We're watching the future, and a lot of it could be, like you said,
right now. And how should we respond when we see those kind of things happen?
Just pay attention to our spiritual condition, I think, is the main thing. Not be so caught up in, you know, people can get so caught up in all of that. Like, when's the rapture coming? And then they're not watching what they're doing day to day.
Yeah.
Spiritually.
You know how the scriptures talk about in the latter days of this, like when all this, the hell and the fire and everything, those upon this earth that are rebelling, they're going to go hide out in caves and mountains and try and get away from it. And I was just thinking as I was reading this news article, the scientist who's a quadriplegic that talks, Stephen Hawking, he has came out and he said the world will be destroyed, so therefore we need to find another planet to move to. So he says we need to leave this one because this one's going to be destroyed. So he's right in that aspect, it will be, but then he's talking about running to another planet to try and hide from all of what's going to transpire.
Yeah.
God
is not getting the response that he's looking for from his creatures. Okay, verse 8 and 9, second trumpet. The second trumpet is a plague on the sea. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea, and life and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. So again, John is trying to describe things as he sees it. And when he talks about a great mountain, that could easily be a meteor, big meteorite or something that hits the ocean. You know, I don't know. And blood might be caused by the widespread death in the oceans of the world. I don't know if it's got anything to do with it, but we talked about the symbology of the sea in previous classes. Throughout the Bible, sea is symbolic of sin, and a meteorite hitting the sand and causing all the death there and destroying the ships and so forth. We were at our son's house yesterday, and he's talking about sort of dreaming, like looking for land up in the mountains. We'd like to have, you know, some land up in the mountains or something, move up there. And he said, why do you want to do that? I said, well, yeah, it's nice to be up in the mountains. I said, when a meteorite hits the ocean, the big tsunami washes up, so it's going to stop in a few months. And he just looks at me, you know, are you crazy? I read it in the Bible.
So, you go to the mountain, you're closer to God. You don't have that far to go.
Buy your Russian Trump property up in Asheville, right?
Yeah.
Not going higher.
You know how the world panics whenever there's shortages of things. And if you notice in here, you have the agricultural aspect will be eliminated quite a bit when you're talking about the green grasses and the trees and everything. Then now we're talking about seafood. We're talking about food from the ocean. Then as we go into verse 10, you'll see water, so rivers. So people will be panicking because there'd be massive shortages of everything. Food, you know, shelters, water.
We're not panicking right now.
No, but they will in there.
We're not panicking right now. the whole Pacific Ocean is dying from radiation poison from Fukushima.
Correct.
Dead fish are washing up on the shores all over the Pacific. We have a drought in California and the western part of the United States, where it's been the producing capital of the world, and farmlands are going barren now because of lack of rain and stuff like that. 15% of the farmers say they're not going to farm next year because government regulations are just ain't going to put up with it anymore. We see all these kind of things going on right now, and the price of food's going up and stuff. We're not panicking. You know, we just adjust ourselves to a new normal kind of thing. I saw an article where you get two cucumbers in Canada now, they're having economic problems. Two cucumbers for $6.
Wow.
And this stuff I had to import because of the difference in the values of their currency. I had a jug of Tide, $32. You know, several things, like a case of water was like $84. I mean, all kind of things, just ridiculous prices in Canada right now because their currency's crashing right now.
Captain, look at, I just saw pictures on Facebook, not that I go there, but of like Walmart the day before the storm. I mean, all the shelves were empty. I'm like, and I said, but Charlie, that's one day and all the food was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I stopped by yesterday, there were no donuts.
Oh, well, they were donuts. That's why I got the little ones. That's the only thing that was left.
Big ones
were gone.
Yeah.
Like there's a storm coming.
Yeah.
Get the donuts. Keep donuts.
Yeah.
No, keep donuts.
Yeah.
But you
know,
when you think about that, you know, that's like one little, well, not little, but a snowstorm. I mean, that's like a normal occurrence. If something really happened,
just that food would be gone. Fortunate. The people just day to day, there's no
right,
that's what
we
said. We just bought
Twinkies.
Yeah, they'll live forever.
They good to go, man.
Nuclear holocaust, they got Twinkies.
But we're starting to pay attention now. We have to listen to you. We put some water up, and Charlie's buying these things with the batteries, and he likes buying stuff like that, so it gives him a good excuse. You know? Oh, this is for our survival stuff. He's got a radio that goes on a special thing and stuff that plugs into the truck. I'm like, Calvin. But you know, I mean, we have water, we're putting up water, and you know, just.
Our power went out. I had a propane heater, fired it right up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
thinking ahead.
I don't have a propane heater.
Oh, no. By tonight, you will. You want a radio that goes on a one of those Ryobi batteries so you can listen to them. Like, I'm getting off track here.
But even when you think you're prepared, things don't go all that well.
Remember all the power for Y2K.
I've got a 7,000-watt generator. I was ready for the power to go out in my house. Generator wouldn't work.
Yeah, you're supposed to check.
Well, you're going to have to have two.
But yeah, all these kind of things are happening. Seems to me like, and this is me maybe, seems to me like people just adjust what they think is normal.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't affect them that much. Okay, verse 10-11. And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Woodworm, and the third part of the waters became Woodworm, and many men died of waters because they were made bitter. Again, it don't tell us exactly what's happening, but you could imagine something like a nuclear war or something like that, and radiation in the water, and you'd be afraid to drink the water. It'd kill you.
So that's like the thing in Flint that's going on now?
Yeah.
The water?
People drinking the water with lead in it for, you know, a year or more, and they just discovered it was contaminated heavily with lead.
For years.
Yeah.
But, it was in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The sad part of all of that is the people that had the ability to do something about it knew it, but didn't do anything.
And the people that knew about it caused it, and they knew what they were doing at the time they were doing it.
Well, that's the sad part is the children. Yeah.
Well, just like the coal ash spill here,
mm-hmm.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Love Canal in New York.
Yeah. People knew what the ultimate results were going to be, but they were taking a shortcut without... Well, they knew what the long-term effects were going to be, but didn't really care, I guess. But yeah, when you can't trust your water supply, here a, was probably a year and a half, 2 years ago or something, where a big water main broke downtown and nobody had water pressure. There for a while, just thinking, well, what are we going to do? You know, no water pressure. And that was widespread. My whole neighborhood was out. Several neighborhoods was out of water. And if that was something long-term where there was poison in the water and you couldn't drink the water and had no water stored up, didn't have any bottled water or you couldn't find any bottled water, well, you did. You know? And you sort of need to think ahead and plan for those kind of situations the best you can. But here's talking about the water being contaminated. Verse 12 and 13, and a fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. In other words, you see this happen, ain't nothing. There's more coming.
Worst is yet to come.
Yeah, worst yet to come. Well, how can a third of the sun and moon and stars, I don't know how that can happen. You know?
How about pollution?
Yeah, it could be pollution. It could be volcanoes erupting and filling the air, you know, the atmosphere with the particles to block out the sun and the moon and the stars. And I mean, all different kind of scenarios where something like that could happen. Maybe it's only over a third of the earth. I don't know.
Well, you know, we don't hear as much, but China, I know people there are now wearing masks everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
They can't even go outside without...
The big city is just mass pollution.
Between the pollution and a couple of volcanoes that might go off at the same time in 1980, when Mount St. Helens erupted, we had ash falling in Spain from Mount St. Helens.
Yeah.
It circled the globe a number of times.
Yeah. Yeah. Had volcano in, was it Iceland, that blew a while back, and it stopped air flights over part of the Atlantic because of the particles and stuff in the air.
Over Europe.
And what was that one in the Philippines in the 90s?
Pinatubo. Yeah.
Pretty much the whole
island. Yeah, wiped out Clark Air Force Base. But, you know, these are just minor things. And what we're when we're talking about a third of the earth, a third of the vegetation, a third of the water, and stuff like that, that can be devastating for the earth.
If you get three volcanoes in different parts of the earth going off at about the same time, along with the pollution that's already up there.
Well, I guess God knew, of course, God knew His sovereign. He knew that people, even though with all of this happening, people are still not repenting. You know, I mean, it's just keep on going and going because it's just...
People just adjust their sinful nature to whatever's going on. And things like this happen and they say, what kind of God do we have? Allow all this kind of stuff to happen. Must be a terrible God.
The Old Testament people wouldn't listen to the prophets even though God gave them multiple warnings.
Jeremiah, you know, God sent Jeremiah to warn Israel to repent. And Jeremiah was telling them, just you know, you've been found guilty, just give up, let the Babylonians carry you away. And it's in other words, like you're trying to tell your kids, take your punishment and get over it. And that's what Jeremiah is trying to tell Israel. Take your punishment, get over it, and then reestablish the relationship with God. They wouldn't do it. So they suffered terribly under the Babylonian siege.
And in Jesus' time, too, the same people who waved the palm leaves, you know, Hosanna, the same ones who crucified him.
Mm-hmm. So there we have four trumpets that have sounded. The one where the angel, well, King James says, heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven. Other translations say eagle flying. I mean, some of y'all scriptures may say eagle if you don't have King James. But from what I read, the word eagle and the word angel that's translated here close enough to where it can be either one, I think.
But,
okay. But a third of the earth's population will die. And again, why only a third? Because God's merciful.
He says he spares more than he smites. Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get the attention of the rest.
Yeah.
And one third of the earth could be all of North America too, to start with.
Could be. Okay, Revelation 9. Let's see,
you know,
what part do we want to go
to? If you think about it, if you go back through history, like, you know, like the last 4,000 or 6,000 years, how much of the earth has not been touched by some kind of disaster?
Well, probably the majority of Earth has been touched by some kind of disaster.
If this is the period between Abraham and now, as a lot of people think, you know, and if you total up all of the things that have happened over the world, you know, how much of it is actually been touched by.
Well, we can look at all this and maybe not a third, but we can see all these events happening today.
Yeah.
Here in the United States, just abortion. Almost 60 million been killed in a womb since
4,000 a day. Mm-hmm. 4,000 a day.
That's just in the United States.
Yeah. And some of them say, how can God let that happen? God, well, I was talking in the men's breakfast. Prayer in the school, abortion, what other things I mentioned? I can't remember now. There's 4 or 5 things I mentioned. Homosexual marriage, several things like that. How can all that stuff happen? God's people's not doing what they should be doing.
Exactly.
We are not, our leadership in the United States are not Christian. How'd that happen? We didn't encourage Christian men to take leadership positions. Matter of fact, I think the church discouraged Christian men from going into politics, which, what do you expect to get if you don't have Christians leading you?
Exactly.
But if our preachers and the Christians who are true Christians were doing their job, there would be more people available to go into these positions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But how many churches do you go into that will only preach the love of God? Mm-hmm. They'll say that there is no hell because we're in hell now. And a lot of churches today mm-hmm. that are preaching that.
Yeah.
But what you mean is like Governor Huckabee is a Christian, but nobody would support him. He gets 1 to 2% of the population support somebody like him, you know, and he'd be good to be the President of the United States.
But it goes back to, again, to how many Americans eligible to vote are actually Christians. They claim, hey, I was born in America, I'm a Christian. But that's not what makes a Christian.
But we're where we're at in this country because of the church and us part of the church not doing what we should be doing.
Yeah, we didn't want to step on toes.
You know, there's not been prayer in school for over 50 years. The church has had plenty of opportunity to address that over that time period. And we haven't. We just let it go.
It
it's almost like that class we're taking on Wednesday night on raising children. Look at the difference of the way people raised children, you know, 40 years ago versus now.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
Well, when I was teaching high school, I could tell the difference between the behavior of my students who actually had parents who were involved and students whose parents just gave them birth.
Mm-hmm. But we're where we're at because of us. That's my evaluation of it.
Again, I think it was in Matthew when the apostles were asking Jesus when the last days would be, and he says, as it was in the days of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
When God brought a judgment at that time,
just like
there's another day coming.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now there's different translations on that. Where it says, I saw a star fall from heaven. Some translations say I saw a star falling. Some translations say I saw a star that had fallen. And some say I saw a star that had fell. But King James seems as if it's talking about a present tense. But the commentaries I read seem to think that it's a past tense where he saw something that had happened. And in general, the commentators are saying that it's talking about Satan. But then it's got the key to the bottomless pit, and
Satan don't have the key to the bottomless pit.
No, Satan don't have the key. So then other commentators say, no, it's not Satan, but it's an angel, or it's a fallen angel, a demon. So there are all different kind of variations on that interpretation of that verse. So it's hard to determine what's going on here because there's so many different opinions, like there's so many different opinions on so many things in the Revelation.
So what is it?
Take your pick.
But, you know, it's a person, though, right? The star is a person.
It could be an angel or a demon or something like that also. It could just be an angel that is an angel of the Lord that has a mission that God's given to him.
Kind of what I think, because if it was a demon, eventually, for a period, Satan is going to be imprisoned in the bottomless pit. The demon wouldn't have the key to keep his master imprisoned.
Yeah.
Man, demons are unauthorized.
So I agree. It says a fifth angel sounded a trumpet, and I saw a star. I'm thinking it is an angel that has a mission from God to have control of the key of the bottomless pit. That's what I'm thinking. And it's something that's already happened by most of the translations that is controlling the bottomless pit. And then we'll see as we go on into verse 2 of the things that are going to come out of the bottomless pit. And if this star or angel or whatever has the key to the bottomless pit, then he's at the command of the Lord to open and close and let in or let out, or whatever, as he's ordered to. So I'm thinking it's some kind of angel that's controlled by God as to controlling what's coming out of the bottomless pit. That's as far as we'll go in chapter 9. We'll get into chapter 9 next Sunday and hear the rest of the trumpets and what's in store. Where the angel or the eagle says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels that are yet to be sounded. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, it's awful hard to interpret Revelation, Lord, but help us to discern what you would have us to know from your scripture, Lord, that will benefit us and benefit our relationship with you, Lord. Now as we go in your sanctuary to continue our worship of you, Lord, we pray that all our words and deeds and songs of praise will be pleasing in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.